Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about promoting agency in the home. I'm joined today by Sister Linda K. Burton, Relief Society General President. Welcome, Linda.
Thanks so much. I love being here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you be here for your personal insights, the insights that you're gaining from your calling. Isn't it amazing what you learn when you're out amongst the saints?
It is amazing. People are wonderful everywhere you go. I'm learning a lot.
You know, I love that you said everywhere you go, because you hear that occasionally as, oh, wherever you go, you find church members, it's the same everywhere. Well, the scenery changes, but there are wonderful saints trying so hard. I've been so impressed, and I almost get emotional over the experience of what wonderful individuals there are out there. They're trying so hard. So
I second that.
I'm hoping that we can draw upon your expertise as a person and also from your calling experiences and your experiences that way to be able to learn more about agency in the home. We also have your husband with us, Craig. It's nice to meet you and have you here today.
Well, I'm grateful to be here and especially to join my wonderful wife for this.
Aren't we session better with our wives?
Oh, my goodness.
I am not ashamed to say that I am a better man whenever my wife is actually with me, not just because of my wife, but when she's with me.
Absolutely.
You know, and I misspoke when I said it's nice to meet you. We actually did a previous session together, and what a delight it is to have you here and to learn from your experience and also your gospel knowledge.
Well, I'm grateful to be here and learn from this experience. It's been a great blessing for me already.
Oh, thank you. And we also have Lisa Richardson, who's my wife. And so I'm a better man today because of you, Lisa.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you
here
as well.
Feelings mutual. Thank you.
This is actually the second part of, or the second episode of dealing with the promoting agency in the home. And the title of this one is actually very deliberate. Agency as a doctrinal principle is something that we understand that cannot be removed or taken away. I know some people will say, you don't understand my dad. My dad, he took all my agency away. Well, actually, a father or a mother cannot take agency away, but we can restrict it in a way by delimiting freedoms, etc. But agency is a principle that's everlastingly there. So the question is, how might we promote agency in our marriages, and how might we promote the exercising of agency in our home, parenting, in the way that we live our lives? So now that I have the three experts, or at least the experienced individuals of doing this, and I'm excited to learn, what's your thoughts about how can we promote agency? Let's start with a marriage. In a marriage, how can we promote the use of agency, appropriate use of agency, in a married experience?
Well, I think one principle to me is the importance, I think the necessity of being one, and that we're one in Christ. If we're united in Christ, then the differences that we brought to our union, man and woman, and Burton and Care, however it was, there's a lot of right ways for things to be done, but we have to establish oneness in our union. And I think that's a decision. That's a choice. And if that oneness is focused on Christ first, then those differences just seem to evaporate. And our children, as President Packer said, in the home, more things are caught than are ever taught. They will see what we do and learn more than what we say.
You know, this is a really important principle. I'm so grateful you bring this up, is we have individuals, when they are first entering into a marriage, they desire to become one. I mean, that's the reason they're getting married, actually, is they feel that I'm a better person with this person than without. So there's a desire. But how does this take place? And Craig, you're hitting on something that's so profoundly deep doctrinally, but so fundamental in the way that we approach things. The only way you can become one is through this gift of agency, is it's a choice. Yeah. So in D&C section 58, it talks about that we have the power within us to be agents. And then in verse 27, it comes right after that and it says, and I would that men be anxiously engaged in a good cause.
Of their own free will.
Of their own free will. And so it's not just a duty-bound experience, but it's the choice of saying, of my own free will, I choose, and I will be engaged willingly in this. So this is really, really good.
And it's challenging at the beginning of a marriage. You've got two personalities, two different families you're trying to blend, and you're trying to figure out how these complementary roles work together. And because it's really a first time that you've had an opportunity to figure this out, and so there's some friction at the, I think, at first as you try and figure out how this all works together. And agency is a big part of it. We make mistakes, and we hopefully we're learning from our mistakes as we go along the way that, okay, well, he likes this and I like this. And how does that work in a marriage? What do we choose to do with that?
This is really good. I like this aspect of learning how to make things work. And this is an important context, is because so many marriages begin and they think that we're already formed. Lisa and I were at a wedding reception just last evening, and she leaned over and they were talking about how we made it and this is the end, you know, kind of thing. And she leans over and goes, actually, this is just the beginning. So we go through a formation of dating and courting and engagement, and then they think we made it. We made it to the altar. It's the end. And actually, oh, actually now it really begins in a different context, and the way that we allow each other to form that learning process is contingent upon our ability to act appropriately, or agency.
Aren't there stages where you're learning all along the way? You learn as you come together, as you're married. You learn as your first child comes. You learn as you change jobs. You learn as you get a new church calling. We went on our mission to Korea. And for the first, 34 years married, we were apart in a lot of ways, rearing children, working, serving. And we came together in Korea, and we were together 24/7 and thought, whoa, we've got to learn how to do this all over again. And it was a wonderful experience, but if the doctrine of being one is overriding in everything that you do, then all of those little differences that tend to separate us, because the world will separate us, you always have to be working to bring them back together.
This is nice. As a matter of fact, when we look at this foundational doctrine in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this cause you shall leave your father and mother, so that you might cleave to your spouse or your wife, and then that you may become one flesh, is leaving so that we might cleave. And cleaving is that, kind of what you're saying, is that learning to stick together, to come together, to adhere together, and becoming one. All of those are actually a choice. It's
a decision.
An action. It is a decision. I choose to cleave to my spouse, and I live in my marriage by that choice every day, a willing choice, and saying there are things I do, and there are things that I don't do. And that will help us to become one. This is a critical element.
I remember learning something from Elder Hafen. You know, we always think of that triangle in marriage where we've got God and husband and wife. And he's so masterfully taught that as that triangle gets closer to God, you know, that husband and wife get closer to each other. I'd seen that triangle and thought about that triangle a lot, but it's true. As the husband and wife are those bottom corners of that triangle and God is the top, as they come closer to God, they're closer. They get closer and closer to each other. And honestly, as far as practical advice, I think, gosh, you know, I think of our marriage and I think, you know, really making sure that we both have the opportunity just to stay on track and to be close to God is really one way we can keep close to each other.
This is good. As a matter of fact, Linda, you brought up in our first episode on dealing with agency, Sister Hinckley's comment about having wings. And so this is an interesting thought. I'm thinking, my mind is churning here, is in what ways can I give wings to my spouse, and how can I help her in the opportunity to act appropriately or use agency appropriately? And that's one way, is I can promote and allow righteousness to happen within our home personally and together.
This is good about my husband. We had three young children. I won't tell you what year, way back when. You know, I was struggling as a young mother, trying to figure out how all these things work together. And I had an opportunity. My mother and my sisters invited me to go to Education Week down at BYU, and I'd never been. And I asked my husband, can we make this work? And he thought that was a good idea. And so we made arrangements, traded babysitting and so on. And I went down and stayed there for a few days and came back so filled up that it just carried me for almost a year. And he says, okay, every year you're going to go to Education Week because it has an influence on our family.
Right.
And we'll do what we need to do to support you in that. And he was so supportive because he realized there were some wings for me to fly because I was getting filled up and it would come back and help us in our family. And I've been so grateful for him. It didn't happen every year, but enough that he could recognize that that was something important for me. Those were my wings.
This is nice. As we explore this concept of being able to promote individuals to act appropriately, you know, sometimes we look at agency only as choosing, but it's choosing to act. I like this is because a thought was planted, there was a plan in place, and then it's a choice on both of your parts to be able to do that, and then bringing it together to bring the fruit together as family. This is great.
And, you know, I love Linda's choice to go there. You know, as we are giving our spouses wings to fly, Satan is going to want to put all kinds of enticements before us, whether that's maybe getting too involved in the PTA or a tennis league or
it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter what it is. But, you know, it's almost like we as a partnership, as a married couple, have an obligation too, when we are making those choices and getting opportunities to fly, that we're making choices that are going to benefit the whole, you know.
And for our children to see this, our children could see that what really refueled her was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't an exotic trip, and it required sacrifice on our side. I mean, our girls would cry when I'd do their hair. And when I would cook, it was even worse. But the sacrifice for them was so that Mom could go and get refueled. And when she came back, it was like in the movie, The Ten Commandments, and Moses comes off the mount and
he has that glow.
He's got that glow. And that's what it was. That's
Craig, so you're nice. Not supposed to cook. You're just supposed to make chocolate milkshakes. The whole time she's gone.
Don't reveal my secrets there, ladies. Don't reveal my secrets. You know, I love this. And sometimes in the marriage context, parents of married couples do not promote agency within that. We talked a little bit about that in our first episode. And I remember a quote by President Kimball where he said that mothers and fathers who direct and control and hold back and even keep their children from their spouses will regret the terrible tragedy. And I think that this is so true, is sometimes what we're doing is we are actually overstepping the bounds of agency, and we don't maybe even realize it when we're trying to say, well, I want the best for my children, my married children, but not giving them an opportunity to exercise these very core principles we're talking about within their own marriage. Linda?
I have a great example of that. Early in our marriage, I remember thinking, I'm married to the perfect person. He doesn't need me. He's everything about him is perfect.
I
remember crying and thinking, what can I do to add to this marriage? And so I sent him off to state conference by himself one Sunday morning, and I called my dad. My dad was always the one I had gone to in my growing up years, and I called my dad and bawling, and I says, I need your help. So if you were the dad, he came to my little apartment, listened to me bawl and pour out my soul, and then he says, sweetheart, I am no longer your confidant. Everything you've just told me belongs to your husband. I love you. I will support you. I will pray for you. But this is now between the two of you. And I thought that was one of the best choices he ever made for me, to support that marriage.
Did you feel abandoned?
A little bit at first, but I realized he was right. I knew in my heart all the time he was right. He had taught me that growing up, but now it was being tested.
And that's why I brought that up is we all know as being parents, you want the best for your children, and you will do everything to provide the best. But in this case, that had to have been really hard. But he was providing the best.
He was providing the best.
You know, and this is such a great example. I love this because in so many cases, I deal with young marrieds quite a bit, is they are asking all the time, how can I find ways to have more freedom? It's really not freedom what they're looking for. They're actually looking for the opportunity to exercise agency within their new realm. And they're asking, how can I get out from underneath where my parents are still parenting me as if I were 15 years old, in a sense. And my maturity, my experience requires a little different approach.
I remember when I was working with the young women, you know, you'd hear, I'm free to choose, you know, I'm free to choose. And I'd always think, you know, that battle has been won and fought. What you need to be doing is focusing on, you know, taking that opportunity to choose and choose the better part.
Well, that's, I think, what we call moral agency in the scriptures. It's not just a choice that's important or just acting. It's acting correctly, you know,
correct,
and choosing the right way.
Absolutely.
And that's where, as parents, we can help. And maybe we can focus our thoughts for a little bit here as talking about parenting is how do we promote agency in a home with children? And I like what we've said here and in the first episode about agency or the proper use of agency also comes in different stages and in different ways. For example, I think the way we promote agency may be very different when we have very young children versus maybe teenage children. We've talked a little bit about married children. What are some of the things that you've noticed in your experience about how agency is either promoted in a home or sometimes even unknowingly it's discouraged by parents? Okay.
One of our daughters has 3-year-old twin boys, and it's intriguing to watch the dynamics of these two. But we went to dinner with them one night, and one did not want to eat. The other one was consuming. But the carrot out there was dessert. And for the one boy that wasn't eating, it was, you'll have to eat 5 bites or you'll get no dessert. Well, he made the choice that he wasn't going to eat. And so they reminded him, there will be no dessert. He said, okay, in his cute, sweet little way. And then when it came time to dessert, they reminded him, you made your choice, and we ate the dessert, and he didn't. A part of us looked at it that was just a little on the cruel side,
right,
but it was such a wise parenting choice to teach him choice and accountability, consequences, and consistency. They said it. Now follow through with it.
This is a fabulous example for many different reasons, and I'm grateful that you bring this up because they're teaching a principle so that he understands, but also give him a chance to actually live it and practice it that enhances an understanding in a whole new way. And I love that about this aspect is sometimes as parents, we love to talk and tell, and we have family nights where we just go outline and we have creative ways we outline a doctrinal principle, but we never give it an opportunity to practice that in real life and use the opportunity. And so this was a great example. Lise?
Well, and I think as you give those young children the opportunity to make choices that, you know, don't have eternal consequences, that when they're older and there are choices that do, they've been in good practice. I just remember a couple of weeks ago, our 16-year-old came up to me and said, you know, I'm going to go, you know, do this. It was not something big, but, you know, and I said, oh, it's your decision. He said, no, I know you don't want me to do that, so I'm not going to. And it was interesting because I said, no, actually, Tyler, this is your decision. You're going to have to make it. And you get to live with the consequences of it. If you do this, there are certain consequences. If you don't do this, there are certain consequences. Oh, right, Mom. I just know you don't want me to do that. So forget it. I'm not going to. And I said, Tyler, don't mix up the promptings that you're feeling right now, blaming them on the fact that I don't want you to do something. This is your decision and you have to own it. But, you know, him kind of feeling like, oh, you don't want me to do this. I'm not going to do it. Was probably the Holy Ghost.
Well, this is an important
whispering
part
to him, not me guilting him into something.
Once again, this is another great example because what you're doing is you're teaching an important principle about how choice and how action works and also how the Spirit works. And I think in my own experience, my parents used to do this all the time. Well, can I go do this? Matt, we've taught you correct principles and you know, we know you'll make a good choice. I'm like, oh, the guilt.
Here it goes again.
Why can't you just tell me yes or no? And now you're making me feel guilty. Actually, they weren't making me feel guilty. They were actually pointing out something that they had done. And then what was taking place is I was feeling guilty because the choice I was contemplating was actually not the proper choice, and I knew it.
Totally.
And so I like this concept is allowing agency to work, and I liked how you separated that and saying, wait a second, there's a difference here about what you're feeling and perhaps what I am thinking and the way you're interpreting this, and then allowing the choice or the action still to be made. Linda?
I think I'm going to take a different tangent, if
Good.
You don't mind.
No,
I'm
please.
Just thinking another part of this that we need to teach for sure is that our actions and choices affect others. I'm remembering a story that was told in General Conference. I'm sorry, I don't have a resource on it, but I remember the story being told of a young man who had chosen to go out on a date at night, had run the car dry of gas, and the next morning his father had a priesthood assignment and needed to get up early in the morning and take the car, but there was no gas in it. The father didn't say anything to the son, but walked the many miles to and from, and the boy realized that his choice had affected his father's choice, but the father hadn't said anything. So the lesson was taught by example, which of course is one of the better ways to teach, but nevertheless what he learned was that his choice had affected others, which is a critical thing that we need to help our children learn.
I agree, and helping them understand that in appropriate ways, as you mentioned, it is critical and it is so helpful. When we start to understand that family is not about me only, and we see how that happens. I remember when my older brother served missions, I used to think it was pure torture. My family didn't have a whole lot, but it was during those periods. We never had like good cereal. And every time, how come we don't have any good cereal? All this stuff is just horrible cereal because it was the cheaper stuff. Then we would always hear things like, because your brother is serving the Lord in Norway. And I'm like, well, I hope he comes home soon. You know, kind of a thing. But actually through that process, looking back on it, we mentioned in the first episode of this was a rolling the eye moment. So, oh my goodness, here goes my mom. Your brother is serving the Lord in Germany. And I'm like, oh no. But actually I was learning from those moments that is affecting all of us, and we are all in this, and that choice is something that helps and does affect all of us. This is good family living.
President Dukedorf said, teach at all times and use words when necessary.
Oh, isn't that great? Will you say that one more time, Craig? That was so good.
Teach at all times and use words when necessary.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? When we look at this, and I'm glad you bring this up, is it's the mentoring process. And the mentoring process is actually what parenting is really all about, is it's a teaching. I can't help but think of I'm a child of God. Parents are to lead, guide, walk beside, help them find their way. And that's a tricky element. Other thoughts that come to mind in this concept of promoting agency?
I'm thinking of a couple different examples. I'm remembering one of our children at a teenage moment felt like she was overprogrammed. She was in a lot of things. She was in dance. She was taking the violin. She was taking piano. And we sat down with her and said, this is too much. You're getting overworked. And she was a good student, trying to carry all those things at the same time. And we said, something's got to go. And she decided piano was going to go. We said, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the consequences of that choice. If you were to choose to drop that, this may be what happens in the future. And she says, that's okay. I'm going to choose that choice.
And it was probably the one thing we didn't want her to drop.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that out, because I wanted to ask that. Was that okay choice? Because this is where it sometimes happens with parenting.
Oops.
Wait a second.
We exercised agency, gave agency just a little too much latitude.
She dropped it. And she has since said that she wished she hadn't. But it was important for her to have that opportunity to make that choice. As hard as it was for us, it was important for us to let her make it. It was important for her to make that choice. And, you know, there's so many others that we could bring up.
Once again, this is really nice. And if I may, I just look at some of the other things that are going on under there is she comes up with an idea and here's my choice. And as parents, as I was listening to you talk, obviously you're saying, let's talk about this and let us give you counsel, idea, or the breadth, understanding what's going to happen, possibilities, etc. For me, this is the mentoring process. This is what our Father in Heaven does. Is I love the way that He does this. He doesn't just say, okay, no rules for you because I want you to have agency. No commandments. I'm not even going to even hint of what I would like you to do because you need to do this on your own. He doesn't do that. What he does is...
It's not true agency if we don't know right from wrong.
There you go. And I love that. So He teaches us well, and then when we have sufficient knowledge or at least capability to act in certain ways, He allows us to choose. That's good mentoring, and that's good parenting, actually. I like that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking too, you know, as far as, you know, our Heavenly Father as well is, you know, we have this opportunity, but honestly, without the atonement, this whole agency thing would not work. You know, if we had been left with just the fall you know, we have to know right from wrong. We have to have truth and knowledge. And the fact that we have a loving Father that gave us His Son and that atoned for us helps us to exercise our agency, you know, to act, and then to repair if need. I mean, it acts as a vehicle.
This is nice.
That actually gets us back.
And actually, the atonement was a choice. It was an action. So
yes.
Everything part of that, even the Savior providing the wonderful empowerment that you're talking about, it was an act of agency on His part where He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. I am in this and willingly going to do this.
And we're constantly making that choice to receive that gift of the atonement.
I love this. And sadly, we are out of time once again, when we start to talk about principles of the gospel, have you noticed there just isn't enough time? Maybe that's why it's everlasting. Maybe that's why it's everlasting. But I appreciate so much of what you have taught. And I thought maybe I would just ask each of you just in a closing comment, if you had the opportunity to say to either married couples or families, saying, here's a parting comment of what I would say about promoting agency or agency in family relationships. If you'd just quickly share. So thoughts, Craig?
Seek to understand and have a witness of the purpose, the power, the eternal wisdom of the gift of agency. Don't diminish it. Don't belittle it, but embrace it.
Well, this is good. That's good. Thank you. Lisa?
You know, I would just honestly acknowledge that it's hard. It's so hard to do this in a family. But I think it was President Monson that said, your decisions determine your destiny. And I would just encourage everyone to use their agency to choose the proper way, to make right choices. Realize that as a gift.
That's good.
Make right choices.
Thank you.
I was just thinking how agency is a gift, and so are commandments. Heavenly Father gives us commandments and the opportunity to use our agency to keep His commandments because He loves us. He's even told us in the Doctrine and Covenants that He'll give us commandments as a reward for keeping the commandments, and not a few, He said. He loves us and wants us home just like we want our own children home. And I was struck as we went to state conference last week, one of the prayers, the opening prayer of our Saturday night session, the brother said, thanked our Heavenly Father for the gift of agency. And I wondered, have I thanked Him recently for that precious gift?
Oh,
and so
nice.
I'm going to do better and appreciate that gift.
Oh, what a blessing it has been for me personally to be with you. And I hope that those who are listening to this program might continue to ponder upon this wonderful gift and allow the Holy Ghost to guide and direct. That's one thing I can say of a certainty is the Holy Ghost, through a merciful Father in heaven, will guide and direct us personally in our personal circumstances at every time of need. And as you mentioned, Lisa, family and marriage can be hard. That's not a bad thing, by the way, because it's an effortful experience, and our Father in heaven will help us with that. And maybe my last parting thing that I might add to this wonderful counsel that you have given is actually from the scriptures in 2 Nephi chapter 2, where we learn that the Lord gave man that he should act for himself. And if he gives that to us, we should model that and understand that in our relationships. That means my wife, Lisa, has that ability to act for herself and all of my children. So for me is how do I appropriately promote and help them to act in ways that would bring about the great blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I'm grateful for a loving Father in heaven, and what a good model He is. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.